it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
All right, then. There are three remaining at Tropicana Field tonight. Game number 160 of 162. Tonight, the Orioles and the Rays, as they continue their battle for third place in the Eastern Division. You can look at it that way. They played 16 times this season. They've gone 8-8 against each other. Tonight, our final look this season at Wade Miley. He takes on Jake Odorizzi for Tampa Bay. Buck Showalter and Rock Kubatko, the manager's report, right after this.
Rock Kubatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, down to the last three games here. And people always want to know, you know, what's the mood in the clubhouse right now? I know guys are disappointed, but at the same time, there's a lot of pride in there.
Well, it's a lot of disappointment. You're right. A lot of frustration. You try to treat people like you'd like to be treated and not throw everything that they've done for each other and for the organization, for the fans, out the window. And it can be a real negative time if you let it be and you want to live in that world. And that's the challenge, I think, for all of us, is to continue to treat people like you'd like to be treated. And you know, it's a chance for you to shine and show, you know, some moxie, and people really don't want to hear about it. You know, it's there's disappointment in life all the time, and it's been a long time since I've been through this, and it's a reminder of how precious those competitive Septembers and October are.
And this team can leave here third place or fifth place, and some people would say, well, what difference does it make if you're not in the playoffs, if you're below 500? But do you sense it does matter to these guys?
Oh, it always matters, Rock, winning a baseball game. And it's kind of like whistling in the graveyard. People that act like it's not a big deal are the ones that are whistling. So our guys do take it serious, and obviously the coaches do. You know, you understand that 4 or 5 weeks from now, these coaches, you know, they have families, they have children, they have trying to figure out what's going on next year, just like a lot of people in all walks of life in America and in our world. So trying not to get too deep about it. We're playing a baseball game. We're doing something that's an honor and great to do every day, but certainly it means something to them. That's why they get up in the morning.
And when you go through a month like this, the 7-18, it's always a combination of things. We've talked before this in the season where, you know, the pitching or can be, you know, scuffling for runs. It just seems like it's more than one thing right now.
Of course, you know, it's always that. And, you know, I've certainly got some real deep-seated feelings about things that we're going to have to get better at. But at this point, I think hanging the goat horns around one phase of the game is not being fair. There's just too many things that go into a successful season and too many things that contribute to not having one to put it on one phase of it.
Rock Kubatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Anthony Santander, the Rule 5 pick, back in the lineup again tonight. What has he shown you so far?
You know, Anthony has presented himself well. You know, he's moving around in the outfield. He's throwing okay. He's doesn't look intimidated by things. You know, he's been aggressive. I think he's gotten a little more comfortable each game he's run out there. So I think he knows what type of opportunity this is for him, just like Austin. And, you know, they want to take advantage of it. So, you know, you're always gathering information to make good decisions, whether it's in the off season, whether it's next spring, or whether it's next April. So you better take them in.
Adam Jones still not in the lineup. Leg soreness, you got the artificial surface here. Is there a pretty good chance we're not going to see him this weekend, or is there still not a chance that he might play?
I don't know. We talk every day, Adam and I, and obviously he's sore. I'm not going to get into exact things, but this turf certainly wouldn't help him any. And anytime we can take away from that wear and tear and get a look at Austin and get a look at Anthony, we're going to do it and continue with the process of, I think it's important that Trey play a full season, especially in left field, and get a feel for what it's like playing through the whole season so he can reach back for that next year. You know, I know what Adam and my plans are for the rest of the time here, but it could change. We'll see.
And last question, Miguel Castro will get the start tomorrow. I know there were a couple of different directions you could have gone. You were leaning at one point of maybe not pulling him out of the bullpen. What swayed you to go ahead and give him that start?
Well, his inning, you know, really, you know, like Roger and I do all year long with our guys, dissecting where he is, inning counts and everything. He's going to pitch about the same number of innings. I think it's a look that we need to get. And, you know, we're not expecting to pitch seven innings, but I think it's a good and it's not going to mean he's never going to start if it doesn't work, or he's going to definitely do this. But, you know, you better take advantage of these looks, especially where his innings are. I think the innings we have planned for him tomorrow is about where he should end up and have made major progress into being able to go either way next year.
Thank you, Buck. Let's take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Tropicana Field tonight, Orioles and the Rays in the first of three. And in a moment, Dave Johnson will visit with Brad Brock. Together again when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network. And back at Tropicana Field, Dave Johnson and Brad Brock are standing by. They have been out for a couple of hours. And they will visit when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Dave Johnson back at Tropicana Field. I'm here with Brad Brock. Brad, give us an idea kind of coming into this year after a tremendous season that Zach had last year as the closer. Coming in, does your mindset change at all thinking that, okay, Zach's the guy, he's going to be the guy, what kind of role am I going to have to do this year?
Going into the spring, obviously there was no doubt about it. I mean, Zach was going to be the closer. That's just kind of how my mindset was. I just wanted to do the best job I could in the setup role and kind of just get the ball to him. And unfortunately, the injuries kind of happen and you kind of have to switch mindsets. But I tried to keep my mindset the same as I did as a setup man. But the ninth inning is definitely a different inning. And, I thought I did a pretty good job in it, but it was definitely a different type of role than I was expecting, to have during the season.
Now, saying that, we talk about the ninth inning as being, oh, it's just another inning. And then, of course, other people will say it's not just another inning. You just alluded to the fact that you don't feel it's just another inning. Is there a different preparation? Like if you go into the game knowing that, hey, I might be the closer tonight, or Zach's out and you clearly would be one of the guys that Buck may go to, what is different that you're thinking either preparation-wise, physically, mentally, or whatever going into the game, and then as the game goes along thinking that, your time might be coming?
Yeah, I think I don't think it's really necessarily a preparation or like a mindset difference. I think it's more so just how the hitters approach it. I think that's the biggest thing I noticed. With two strikes, they're not giving in. They're in the eighth inning, they're still, kind of doing their approach. But when it comes to ninth inning, I don't think anybody wants to give up their last at-bat. So I had a bunch of at-bats. I was like, man, usually when you face that guy, he doesn't necessarily give a swing like that. And with two strikes, they were just, kind of willing to just put the ball in play or find a hole or just do a little bit different. And that was the biggest thing that kind of surprised me was that even major league hitters just don't want to give up that last out. And the minor leagues is a different story because everybody's trying to just put up numbers. And I think when I closed there, it was kind of, pitching just like every other inning. But for some reason, maybe it was just me, but I just feel like it's a little bit different of an approach and the hitters just don't want to give up that last strike.
Now, to me, since you've been over here, which I still can't believe San Diego gave up on you, by the way, but to me, your velocity has kind of gone up at times. Is there something to that, or is it just something that's happening?
Yeah, I think it was when I was in San Diego in 2011 and 12, my velocity was kind of similar to what it is now. And 13, I kind of just kept creeping further and further across my body. And when I came back over here, Dave and Dom, when they Dom Chidi and Dave Wallace, when they came over, they kind of just straightened me back up and had me going towards home plate. I was throwing in between home plate and third base when I was in San Diego. It was extreme. Across my body. When I came over here, it kind of just straightened me out and velocity picked back up. I remember one spring in 2014 when I came over here, literally one bullpen, it was 3 or 4 miles an hour back. And it was like everything was sharper, everything was crisper. And, it was just a huge adjustment that just needed to be made. And huge adjustment, but at the same time, such a minor thing. But it was obviously, I'm really glad that I was able to make that change.
When you say minor thing, as a former pitcher, there's no minor adjustments, especially when you're trying to take it to the game, so to speak, and you're trying to get your muscle memory, so to speak, back. So that was something that you were able to make an adjustment kind of during spring training. Yeah. That's when you did that?
Yeah, during spring, and it was, what made it an easier transition was that it was more so where my foot was placed on the rubber. So it wasn't like I needed to change anything I was really doing. I got rid of the windup, which was a big thing, because when I get going, I can kind of get going fast and I go even further across my body. So when I squared up to the rubber and it kind of just took away all the other stuff that was kind of getting me offline.
No, I noticed, Mike Borda calls your change up the turbo change. It is a straight change though, right? It's not a split or anything.
Yeah, just straight change. I put my middle finger and my ring finger right on the seams and it's almost like a circle change, but I don't connect my finger like a circle change. I just throw it straight over the top like I do my fastball. And I had it in college and lost it in the minor league somewhere. And then when I finally got called up in 2011 and 12, found it again. So thankfully, that was probably my best pitch you know, growing up in high school and college, and was able to find it finally when I got back up to the big leagues, and got confident with it when I came back over here with the Orioles.
Now, I kind of know what you're talking about when you say you kind of lost it, because I had a similar situation in AAA my first year. I had a great changeup for about a year and a half, and then I lost it, and I never got it back. And the whole time I was in the big leagues, except for the 3 weeks with the Pirates, I didn't have a changeup. And as a starting pitcher, it was huge, but I just couldn't find it. What do you mean that you kind of lost it?
Yeah, just I lost the feel for the ball. And usually when I throw it, it's got the tumbling action to it. But for those 3 or 4 years, it was just cutting. Everything was cutting, and I kept trying to get on top of it, and it didn't matter how I threw it. It just kept cutting. So it was not an effective pitch, obviously. So I started throwing a splitter more, and that's when it was more of like a forkball. I just split my fingers as far as possible, got on the two seams, and didn't throw very often, so it wasn't as effective as my changeup when I feel really confident with it. So I think just kind of losing the changeup was more of just cutting it as opposed to getting on top of it and having it tumble down.
Now, kind of coming to an end, obviously everybody's disappointed that you didn't get a chance for postseason this year, but what kind of does the offseason look for you or look like for you? What do you kind of do at the end of the season physically, kind of ready to get wind it down and then get ready for next year?
Yeah, just kind of take like 2 weeks off of everything, kind of like tone back the physical activity. I do a lot during the season to keep up with during the year, so I kind of just take about 2 weeks off completely and then start doing like a little bit of running here or there and stuff like that. But about a month after the season, start lifting and pick up a baseball game come January. So it's kind of just like you said, it's toned back, but it's not as long of an off season as I think it used to be. It's just kind of you have to come into spring training ready to go no matter who you are, and just kind of the way the game has changed. So take about a month off and then just kind of get back into it slowly, and then come January it's kind of full tilt again and get ready for spring.
All right, thanks Brad, and good luck going in the next year then.
All right, thank you Dave.
Oriole baseball is coming up next. And hello again baseball fans, Joe Angel, Dave Johnson back at Tropicana Field in the loss column tonight as they lose the first of three here in St. Pete. Dave Johnson, Wade Miley tonight, he was pretty good.
Well, he sure was for a couple innings.
For two innings, yeah.
Five strikeouts in the first two innings.
There you go.
It, you know, again, it was kind of reminiscent of the game I saw him pitch when I did the game with you in Cincinnati back in April, where he was so good through the course of the whole ball game. I think he gave up one or two hits and just dominated. But in the end, he's had a couple games like this where he's really good for a couple innings. And as you mentioned, the last game he was good for, three innings or so.
Yeah.
In the fourth or fifth, he gave up two-run homers, and that was that because you're going up against Chris Sale. But
so what happened?
Not good. I think that he kind of fell in love with the changeup a little bit. He was throwing a lot of changeups, and then what happened was I think the hitters made some adjustments. They said, you know what, I'm not going to swing at those pitches out of the zone. We're going to make him throw the ball up in the zone. If he's not going to dominate with the fastball and throw the fastball a lot, I won't respect the fastball. I'll look off speed, and when you're looking off speed, you know you have a little bit of extra time, just a little bit, to recognize the pitch, whether you want to swing at it or not. And what they did was They didn't chase pitches out of the zone.
Well, I think you're right, because in that first inning when he struck out the side, it was all on fastballs.
Right.
He threw a bunch of fastballs.
He did. And he got in that third inning, he started throwing the changeup a little bit more, struggled a little bit, walked a couple guys there, and only gave up a run. But then it didn't go well in the fourth inning and then, of course, to start the fifth.
All right. Offensively tonight, Dave, not a whole lot to talk about other than Trey Mancini, who did get a hit. He has now hit safely in 17 consecutive games. That's an Oriole rookie record. And he had struck out his first two times up tonight, and yet on his third at bat, he found a way to hit the ball hard.
Didn't look good at all in his first two at bats, I think because they pitched him really well. They threw some great breaking balls. Boxberger struck him out, I think, on a changeup. Which goes straight down. It's kind of a little bit of a split change. But then when you look at he faced Boxberger, I think, to strike out. And then, of course, Odorizzi struck him out the one time. So I was like, wow, he doesn't look good tonight. He doesn't look comfortable. This is a guy who's got a 16-game hitting streak. But in the end, he ended up getting a pretty good pitch to hit, a little slider that has stayed right down the middle and laced the base hit over the shortstop's head for a 17th consecutive game with a hit, really now holding the record for the Orioles since 1954. So, boy, he's just very impressive. There's no question about it, because he, after those two, the first two at-bats, could have got a little, down on himself, or you know, maybe expanded the strike zone. But he just looks like he looks like a veteran out there. He really does.
Yeah, right now he's got 158 hits as a rookie. So he and Cal Ripken, he's going to have a, if he gets one more hit, you know, in the hit column, he's going to have a better rookie season than Cal Ripken had.
Yeah, so he's got two ball games to grab a hit. Of course, he could extend to you know, 18 or 19 games going in the next year and carry that on. But just one more hit will put him in a pretty – well, he's already in good company. But, yeah, to separate him between Cal and Eddie on the Orioles' all-time rookie record for hits in one season, that's pretty good company, Joe.
How many home runs did Cal have his rookie season? I forgot.
Rookie season.
I got to look that up.
Yeah, I don't know.
I bet you Tiny can find out for us. I'm sure he will, too. We'll get back. That was all about Wade Miley getting off to a good start. Yeah, he did in the first inning. Well, early, Wade Miley throwing more fastballs than normal. And there's a swing and a miss, another fastball.
Yeah, so he just went predominantly fastballs, threw a couple changeups in a couple of the previous at-bats, but he just right there kind of threw a fastball right by Longoria, clearly not expecting anything like that with two strikes.
Well, Miley's off to a good start, three strikeouts, all on fastballs. I like it. Yeah, that was good. Then Campbell got two more strikeouts in the second inning. It was a nothing-nothing game until the third, when he gave up a run and a couple of walks and a fielder's choice. And then came the fifth inning when a leadoff single by Pueyo, and then with one out, a bloop single, and then a walk, and then guess what? The count 3-2. Robertson again digs in and waits, and Miley will check the runners. He delivers. Hey, another fastball, but he walked him, and again, just above the letters.
Yeah.
And that will force in a run.
Just above the zone. Many times you'll get guys swing at that pitch right above the zone. As a matter of fact, he has swing at that pitch this game. But Robertson didn't chase, so therefore a borderline pitch goes the wrong way for Miley, and he walks in a run.
There you go. That's costly, a bases-loaded walk. And then later, Peter Borges had a fly ball that picked up another RBI. And, at the time, Tampa Bay had a 3-0 lead. Then in the fifth inning, Longoria came up as the leadoff hitter. And the pitch, Longoria hits it to deep left. Way back in the corner, here's Mancini racing back. Gone, a home run. Evan Longoria, his 20th home run this season. And for Longoria, the 40th home run he has hit against the Orioles in his career. There you go. Longoria doing what he do, usually, against the Orioles. Imagine the Orioles had nothing going on until the seventh inning. They'd had just a couple of hits until the seventh inning. After a walk to Scope and a couple of outs, that's when Mancini, who had gone 0-for-2 in the game with a couple of strikeouts, he was able to extend his hitting streak. 2-2. Here it comes. And there's a breaking ball, line drive, base hit left field. Looked like got a slider.
Yep.
And Mancini pulled it into left.
Well, hanging slider. That was one of the not-so-sharp breaking balls. It did not get it away and left it right out over the middle of the plate. Mancini laced it over the shortstop's head, and that'll be it.
There you go. 17 consecutive games for Trey Mancini. The longest by an Oriole rookie since way back in 2001, when Brian Roberts hit safely in 15 straight. And, of course, 17 is the Oriole rookie record, consecutive games hit in by a rookie in a single season. Now, Tillman was pitching in the bottom of the seventh inning when Logan Morrison came up as the leadoff hitter. Morrison digs in. He's on a walk and a double. And now, way back in right field, he's got a home run. Way back in the seats in right field. Now, Tillman... Tillman got that ball up, and Morrison got every inch of it. His 38th home run to make it 5-0 Tampa Bay. Yep, and then later in that seventh, Tampa Bay got two more on sacrifice flies. There was a couple of walks there. I mean, they got three runs on one hit in that seventh inning, and that was all she wrote. The Orioles eventually would go down quietly. Davis waits, cocks the bat, and the 2-2 pitch. Boom, that a miss. Fastball. And there goes that horn. That's the ball game. And the Orioles are tonight in the loss column. Tonight, they get shut out at Tropicana Field. So their miseries continue, the third straight loss. They have now lost 17 out of 21 And the end of the season cannot get here fast enough. Back with more right after this. Now, they've now donated over $800,000 since 1996 for the Saves for Shock Trauma Program. So every time an Oriole pitcher picks up a save, well, it helps save lives in our community. Yep, tough loss. They get beat 7-0 in the first of three here in St. Petersburg as, Boxberger wins it out of the bullpen. And Wade Miley will take the loss as a starting pitcher. Orioles had just four hits in the entire game, so the offense was non-existent tonight. Let's see what Buck Showalter had to say to the media after the game.
Wade had the six strikeouts early, but is it the walks again that just continue to hurt him?
Hurt us all. What do we walk, 8, 9, 10? Yeah. Just walk ballpark. Can't do that. And it's been a challenge for him and a lot of guys. Yakabona's been a challenge for him, but a challenge for Chris. You know, but it's, you know, been something they've struggled with all year.
But that play in the fourth inning, did it hit off a ring that was fair? Is that what they ruled? I mean,
none of the four umpires could tell if it hit it. And the problem is our replay has no angle that shows that goes up to correct them. And that rings in foul ground, which should have been a foul ball. But when they tell me that all four of them couldn't tell if it hit it or not, and where we were at, it was obvious that it hit it. And so we're trying to go to replay to correct it and help them out. And replay has no angle that shows that it hit it. I'm sure y'all saw it too. So it leaves me no course of action to go to replay to correct it. So it's another flaw in, obviously, the ballpark. It's been that way for a long time, a flaw in the replay. You know, I just don't have a camera up there. There's a lot of places here you'd have to put a camera to correct many things that happen.
Did he aggravate the...
No, I was going to get him out of the game anyway. I'm not sure. He wasn't running. I think he was trying to protect it. He felt great today, warming up and had no problems. But, you know, he was coming out of the game anyway there, so it may have looked like I brought him out for that reason. But, you know, he was pretty ginger going down there. Usually he's got a chance to beat that ball out.
You know, you guys had trouble with Odorizzi in the first four innings, and then when the relievers came in, nothing really happened defensively. What was going on?
Well, you know, obviously, I'm going to give them credit. They pitched well. We're not swinging the bats very well. That's been obvious for a while here. You know, it's that time of year of September. You get a lot of different looks, and, you know, C-Shack was a great pickup for him. Boxberger's coming off an injury, and he's a quality pitcher. And, you know, Stanek, you can see why they like him. He's got a big arm, and, you know, Kittredge has done well since he's been up here. There are just a lot of different looks you have to, you know, it's inning to inning. It's not like you get a feel for somebody's, you know, usually someone has to pitch long relief when it's not September, but it's not the case. But it's like we had to do with Chris tonight.
What did you think of Miley and Tillman's outings tonight?
That's what I just said. I'll repeat it. You know, they really struggled with their command, and that was a challenge for Yakabonis too. And it's been a challenge for them all year. It's tough to pitch up here without command of the fastball.